Do you want to do a real paranormal investigation of a well-documented haunted location? Here's your chance. Join our team as we continue the investigations of the Gaynor Tavern, currently Bean Stamper's Gentleman Club in Mackville, Wisconsin.
Originally built in 1877, the building was served as a general store, blacksmith shop, tavern, post office, dance hall, and bar. The building was originally built by Michael Gaynor and remained in the family for five generations before being sold to Bean Snappers in 1993. Throughout documented history, the building has been hit four times and burned twice, with four recorded deaths on the property.
Some of the most notable paranormal claims that we have documented are a male disembodied voice, a female disembodied voice, objects moving, doors opening and closing, lights turning on and off, knocking in response to questions, the sound of someone sitting down next to you on furniture, physical interactions including being touched, hair brushed, and scratched, and other unexplained responses through our equipment, which include a REM pod, EMF meter, and an obelisk.
Bring your own equipment, or we have some you can use while you're here. Audio and video recording is encouraged. Here is your chance to investigate the paranormal. For the very first timers to the experienced professionals, we can walk you through, or you can take the lead. The time is yours. Ask your questions and get your answers. Limited space is available for tours, so make sure you purchase your tickets in advance at wisconsincaps.com. Click on the Gaynor's Tavern link under public events. Welcome to the official Cryptids, Anomalies, and the Paranormal Society's podcast. I'm your host, Barnaby, and you're listening to Whispers from the Dark. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Whispers from the Dark. Joining me live on the phone line is Cosmic Fathom. How you doing?
Not too bad, man.
That's good. Are you excited for our guest today?
Yeah.
So
it gets boring talking to just you.
It gets boring. It gets boring for myself talking to me too with the voices in my head. We all argue all the time. So a couple months ago, I think now, we had a guest on our show from the Metaphysical Expo in Eau Claire. And he is at the Janesville Expo again today. So I'm sitting here with him live, and Fathom is joining us again for this conversation via phone. And it is a pleasure and an honor to have Sky Chen back with us. How are you doing?
Thank you so much for bringing me back on. I am doing amazingly.
Terrific. So right before we went started today, I'll let you kind of go from there and we'll carry on.
Yeah, well, right before we went live here, I gave Barnaby a healing, and I've actually been hearing Spirit suggest that the entire day, among other people too, because we have a really big turnout of vendors at this event.
Vendors, yeah.
There's like maybe like 40 people, 30, 40 people. Mm-hmm. It's a really big space, and there's quite a variety of energy here at this location, and a couple of my friends and some acquaintances that I just met today who do readings and do healings and whatnot have passed by my table, and I hear Spirit say, offer them a reading, or excuse me, offer them a healing. Sometimes a reading too, but it's been really prevalent lately. Like, people really need this for lots of different reasons, but I really felt compelled to offer you it. And then the whole day went by. You know, you were saying that you were seeing me kind of busy and talking to people. There was always...
Yeah, you were busy all day, man.
Yeah, that's how they are these days, and I absolutely love it, actually. Yeah, I had maybe a couple seconds to inhale a hot dog and a bratwurst loaded with pickles.
Nice.
And it was actually the first time I ate at an expo in a long time. I usually don't get a chance to eat at all. And I feel good about that when I'm especially doing energy work, because a lot of energy healers will use their life force to do healings, and that will make them feel drained afterwards. And I used to do that as well for many years when I first began doing this. And it took a while. There's a few things that I do that I learn, that I've learned before, and now I utilize at every single event that really helped me align with that divine lightning bolt of energy and direction. And I don't always do it by myself. Like with your healing, we can talk about that a little bit too, mm-hmm. from your perspective. I always like hearing it from everybody's individual perspective, because each healing is so unique to each person, because what I do is unique, and I haven't seen a whole lot of people, other people than me, doing it so far. I hope to see more of it. I've actually seen a couple of people in the past 2 or 3 years that can do this. But, and I was approached by a guy, Dave, who, or Dr. Dave, he comes to a lot of these shows. And he's a psychic medium himself, and he does aura photography. Mm-hmm. And he came up to me just in the middle of one event, probably 6 months ago. He comes straight up to me, and he's like, "Sky." I'm like, "Hey, Dave, do you know what you're doing?" And I said, "Honestly, not really."
that's a very Zen question, so.
Yeah, do you know what you're doing? No. What am I doing? And so he was saying, "You're working with the light body. You're pulling things out of people, and you're seeing, or others are seeing the colors and the shapes and the geometry and all of what else goes into an individual's healing." And he said that he had taken some sort of seminar or training course with a bunch of other people, and they spent a solid 3 months, I believe he said, on learning how to do this. And he's like, "Did you learn anywhere? Did you do this in another time?" And I was like, "No, really. I mean, I started doing this actually after I met my twin flame. She is a massage therapist. And it was the segue into my own ability. And when I started doing this healing for her just intuitively, it was so powerful. And I felt the connection, and she felt it too. And I just had to branch out from there. I do it for myself as well. And it's just very individual, very unique to each person. So it would be interesting to see what you feel from your perspective, Barnaby. Like, what was going on with you? Because some people hear things. Some people see colors. Other people, I'm working on them, and I see. Because you'll notice at the end of that, I give thanks to all of your guides in every direction to you, like mm-hmm. the north, south, east, west. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have, lately, I see starseed connections. So I'm seeing beings from other worlds that are standing behind them, literally, and have helped me throughout the healing. Because it's not just me doing the healing. I'm facilitating it. But it's like a surgery. You need a team. And every single person is unique, because sometimes there will be animals that come in. Sometimes there will be other shaman, other light workers, other beings from other planets. And we'll all be doing different stuff. Like if I'm standing in front of someone and I'm pulling something from the left direction, oftentimes there will be two or three other individuals standing behind from the other direction and telling me directions. It's okay. Go here. Do this. Do that. And other times it's totally just intuitive. So there's just so much going on from my experience, from my perspective, doing it. And the only way to do it, and the best way to do it, is to get out of my own way. So I'm completely empty with thoughts, and I let whatever inspiration come just be, and I trust it. Those are the two ingredients for what I do. And I suppose the third ingredient would be having all the multiple lives that I lived in the past, especially in Asia and on other worlds as well, where I learned these modalities again and again and again, and kind of stacked all of that experience into this life and carried forward the endowment. And I'm really extremely grateful to be interacting with people and to be able to initiate this kind of healing. Because going back to what we were talking about, what the healing basically is when we live a modern day lifestyle, we compartmentalize the aspects of us in our existence. For example, we put our mental life over here, our physical life over there, our work life over there, and we're putting everything into neat little compartments that aren't necessarily connected or in the same vicinity. So we're a big bookshelf with a lot of discombobulation all over the place. And when we continue living that way, we might have the house, the car, the children, the work, the insurance, all of these earthly things, but still feel empty or still feel unreciprocated or still feel like we're unfulfilled in some sort of way or empty.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And so the healing brings those parts of us back into a whole communication, a holistic place, so that a person can step with their best foot forward naturally, as if they were freshly born, without any sort of external influences filling in the gaps that may happen with such discombobulation. Another way to think of it is when you go to a chiropractor, you have all of your bones in your neck and your back, and it still works, but you'll have kinks here and there that over time will create inefficiencies and create discomfort and create some sort of blockage or limitation to what you can do. This is also like a spiritual chiropractic adjustment. So it aligns everything so it can be much more fluid and efficient through the soul. And the soul is the driver of the vehicle that we are, with all the different parts, levels, dimensions, and levels of dimensions that we occupy. Was that a squeal, or is that a dog?
Puppy chiming in the back there.
Dog. Hang on. Sorry. Let me...
That was perfect timing.
Very emotional. Got the dog going there.
That's me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's very interesting. Like, I like the holistic, the holistic of that. That makes a lot more sense to what that actually is, you know? Mm-hmm. I think what I would like to talk about is, so I've had this done by you, and I've also had Fathom do this, and I don't know what you did to me, Fathom. What did you do to me?
Reiki.
I do Qigong.
Oh. So like why?
Yeah.
Did you do Wigong for him? It's like external Qigong.
It was like, I do a lot of hand placements, you know, so it's about, I need to have kind of a weird thing. I can see with my fingers, and that's kind of a weird thing for people, but it started because of craft stuff in general, like crafting stuff. And it sort of just worked for my type of energy work, and I've always been attracted to things like Tai Chi and whatnot. And I ran into a woman, and she's like, "Hey, have you heard of Qigong?" And I'm like, "No, I haven't." So I got into that and just absolutely clicked with it. I love it. It works for me. If I need to, you know, I just do, I move my hands around somebody, but I also, you know, if I have to, I will touch somebody to kind of get in there and figure out what the heck's going on or blocking things up.
What you're doing is Wigong. I lived in China. It's, the gong means whole. Qi means energy. Wai means external. So if you're doing Qi gong, because when normally, like, for the way I understand it, when you see like those old people in a park making slow movements, that's that's Qigong, because they're cultivating within themselves. But there are practitioners that can externalize that practice and that movement in other people. And it's called Wigong in China.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
There's very few people who can do that.
And write that down. Sorry.
Yeah.
And what again did you do then?
I have a name for it. I call it ethereal calibration, or EC. It's just simple like that. EC clearing, or EC energy healing. Some people see it as shamanic energy clearing, which it also is. It's light body work. There's lots of different names and nuances. I try to avoid the semantics of it, because we can split hairs all we want, but ultimately you have to experience it to know it. You have to get your feet wet, and that's part of the initiation in the healing itself, because I don't really advertise it or try to push it on anybody or try to recommend it to anybody. When I go to every single show, I bless the show. I bless every single vendor, every single visitor, every single piece of life and matter that comes through, that we have equal exchange, that we have reciprocity of value, that we are connected with everybody that we need to for healing, growth, insight, clarity, peace, love, protection, harmony, all sorts of things. And I'll just go on and on and on and on like that. I'll hold up a pinch of tobacco and lavender petals, and I will hold it up and then sprinkle it in all four directions, then up to the sky or the heavens, and then down to earth or Gaia, sprinkle it over myself, and then clap three times and blow around the entire room, make sure every single soul gets that, and then envision it going outward infinitely through space and time.
Aww.
And that's all that I've ever needed to do. I don't see much of a difference in having business cards or not having business cards, having brochures or not having brochures. And people click right away. They come up to me and they just know.
Yeah, they do.
And they feel it.
Sorry.
And I'm ready to go. No, thank you. Yeah, and I had a couple people like that today even. I had one gal who, this is her very first show. She came right up to me and she gave me the rest of her change that she had. She gave me all of the money in her wallet. And she had never done a healing before. An art teacher. And she's fresh in the job. And as we were doing the healing, like, she was peeking her eyes open here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, she was absolutely blown away. But she was saying stuff along the lines of, like, at first I was really skeptical, and she was like almost smiling and laughing at it. But then after a couple of minutes into it, she really settled. And then she looked at me and she's like, this stuff is real. And I looked at her and I smiled and I'm like, you know, that's what I love about this. If you're on any part of the spectrum, if you're totally skeptical and this is your very first time experiencing something like this, or if you're a total beam me up, Scotty, I'm ready to leave the planet, like anybody in between, you're all going to feel it. And every single person that I've worked on so far, they actually look different in their eyes and they feel different in their energy, like you do right now, Barnaby. Yeah, he was tired and very...
I was.
Like,
I was burnt. Well,
gunky.
I can only imagine.
Yeah. So how did it feel for you from your perspective? I always like to hear this from people.
Well, I told you when we were done, it felt like very tingly. I do feel like lighter, just like whole body wise. Like I have a little more energy now. I was waiting for you to get here tonight. We're recording this after the whole
thanks
convention.
Thanks for being patient with
me. Oh, you're fine now. But I laid down on the bed and I told my mom, I'm like, if he's not here in like 15 minutes, I'm going to fall asleep.
I felt it. I was like, I need to get there stat. Everybody wanted a piece.
I was coming down the elevator and Fathom messaged me and she's like, yeah, I'm ready. And I'm like, oh, yep. Well, he's here now. So
you felt so sad.
Me?
Yeah. You were just
yeah.
Like, oh my God, I just got to lay down. He was
I'm
just
sorry,
done, I'm, just spent.
I'm laughing because I know what you mean.
Yep. But I feel like, and here's where you're just talking about, like, the skepticism of this. And I'm wondering on a level of this is, you know, I mean, like, I've experienced a lot of weird things, you know, with paranormal and Bigfoot and the energy and stuff like that. Okay. Just making sure we weren't getting kicked out. you know, so anything I do, you know, is scientific. And so going into this even, you know, I started thinking through it, like, even if there's nothing energy, I mean, I get the energy and stuff, like, there's definitely energy movement. You know, if you put your hand on someone or just hover it by them, you feel the energy of that. You feel that connection, you know. But, you know, if you're, you know, skeptical of it, even just sitting there and having this personalized attention from someone else is just this, you know, what was that, like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever that was.
Maybe. It was longer.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's the whole just self-awareness of sitting down, shutting your mouth and being quiet for a little while. And, you know, like meditation, you know, even if it does nothing else for you, you've calmed yourself down to this point. You breathe better. You feel better and stuff. And for anybody that, you know, doesn't believe, I mean, even if it's just that, you're still getting the benefit of that, of having that experience of that calm time, you know? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I can see that perspective. Mm-hmm. What I want to challenge that, though, is you've heard of the placebo effect. Mm-hmm. There's a nocebo effect. And I get this a lot with reading. When I channel someone and I try to go there with them and they are skeptical to a high degree, it actually hinders the reading in a lot of different scenarios because that person needs to connect with me in a certain way. And so the information I get is really confuddled, very uncontextualized. And there's no flow of the information, especially if they're excessively skeptical, if that makes any sense. From my perspective, seeing it, I've had a couple of people like that where it's a challenge to read them, but we eventually make headway because things are clicking with them. And I need to figure out a way to translate because I always see myself as a translator when I'm working to channel and to do psychic readings. And there's lots of different ways to say things or different languages, if you will, when we're channeling different individuals, depending on them, because every person is such a mixed bag. They're so different and unique. So if the power of the mind is so strong where you could block things out, how could it be? This is a rhetorical question. How could it be that the most skeptical people so far, this is anecdotal for me, I've had maybe three or four people that I've healed in the past 2 years who have been significantly skeptical about the healing, who all feel it. They physically feel it in their body. And I always find them the most amusing to talk to afterwards because they're at a loss of words and they're so confused.
Well,
they really are.
Yeah.
Right, so that's part of it. You know, it's part of the learning, the teaching, and the healing.
What I want to ask you, Barnaby, is
yeah.
If when you meditate or when you get into a sense of calm, does that feel any different from what this felt like?
I don't have tingle.
The tingle
you
factor.
Made me all tingly.
Tingle factor is gone. Oh, what tingle. Is where is tingle?
I feel
you
very.
Said the same thing about mine. Like what? Okay. What? What else?
Is hers spicy?
Yeah, did you leave?
Yeah,
where'd you go?
She went into another dimension.
She did. She's gone.
She was. I'm back.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yeah.
Parlez-vous le français?
What the hell?
So, okay, to answer your question, like, when I do, like, meditation stuff, I get very relaxed and my whole body, like, I usually do it right before bed. So my whole body will, like, melt into my bed. Mm. So it's just kind of like complete relax, putty kind of feeling. The energy and stuff with you and with Fathom is more of, like, the tingling. And it feels like energy. You know, you feel warm in certain places and you feel, like, the movement. There's more movement with it. Mm-hmm. I'm not remembering completely like Fathom and stuff, but from what we just did here, you know, like I feel like tingling as it ran down my leg when you were working down there and stuff, like the one leg and then the other leg as well. So you feel that energy moving around. The other thing I noticed is your voice and the sounds and stuff kind of triggered, like we were talking about with the microphones, like the ASMR.
Oh.
And it kind of gave that kind of a relaxing vibe as well. So it triggered that and kind of put more relaxation into it and everything and kind of
I can see that perspective for sure. Yeah.
So that's that's where I was with that. So
very cool. You're a science-y guy.
Yeah. Very much.
But
I do feel a lot better. I thank you again.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Say thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
You needed it, man.
you have no idea.
I do, actually. I had to open the doors to let his stuff move out like it was like crawling
oh
along
gosh.
The floor. Yeah, I was like, yes. We're not going to have this attached to people here because there's plenty to feed off of in this hotel of hundreds of people.
Yeah, this is true. Yep. Both doors opened all the way outside. Yep.
Yeah, because you go into these situations and you're open.
Oh, no, my headphones.
You're wanting to learn and you attract to you. And even your bracelet, you said that was a day old?
Yeah, I actually, so Fathom doesn't know about this yet. I actually got a brand new bracelet. Custom made yesterday, and it has, help me out here, it has Tiger Eye, it has Bloodstone, it has...
Hematite looks like,
Hematite
too.
And Lava Rock, I believe.
Hmm. You can put, like, essential oils in there, it'll soak it up, and you can have, like, aromatherapy with it.
So, yeah, I got that, and so I bought that last night.
Oh, my God. Dude, it felt like it was a month worn. Like, you never cleared... Nothing on it ever.
It just sapped.
It after she got done making it, because she made it in here custom for me. We put it over this selenite pedestal, and it sat there for a little while.
Cool.
So and then I put it on.
You need to have like a selenite puck or something with you where you can just lay it on every single day. Seriously,
yeah,
it would be helpful because you're a power user of your body and your energy and your placement in time and space, because you go to places that we'll say the human mechanism isn't designed to necessarily go. It's kind of like you're the first monkey that the Russians are training to go into space, and he's like sitting there with like 15 G's on his face, and he's like, wah! And it's like flying back, and his, you know, cheeks are expanded from all the air flowing through, and he's a very passionate monkey. But he's very tired after all of the centrifugal force yanking him through.
I am a very tired monkey. Yes.
Oh my God.
So
I can't.
Did you re-listen to the podcast?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So do you remember at the end of the podcast when I got up about midway through and I walked over to that vendor and I bought that stone?
Yeah.
Okay, you remember that?
I do.
So I have that, and Fathom knows this. I have it in a cage.
Oh.
And I've worn it ever since then.
What a naughty stone. You never get out of there.
So I'm interested in... Hang on a second. I'll be right back.
He's taking off his pendant because it's around his neck.
Yeah, so it's in a necklace. Mm-hmm. So you were talking about the amount of energy and stuff on the bracelet. So I'm interested if you want to take a look at that.
Hmm. Okay.
Or just get away from it, I guess.
Sure. Let me see here. Yeah, that's heavy too. Here, hold my mic.
Yeah, I got your mic.
I'll clear it right here.
All right.
Sky's gonna do his thing. Doing the thing.
Thank you very much, sir. Yeah.
How does that feel?
I don't know. I got to put it back on now.
Okay. We'll be with you in just a moment. This episode brought to you by whatever sponsor can fill this spot. Bigfoot. The new and improved from Smallfoot. Try it today.
It feels lighter.
Does it? Yeah.
It feels it's just a lot lighter.
It's just a general heaviness with you.
Yeah, it definitely feels, it hangs a little lighter and stuff as well. Mm-hmm. It just feels like that, so.
Yeah. This commercial break brought to you by ghosts.
There you go.
All kinds of them.
Whispers from the Dark will be right back after this quick message from our sponsors. Whew, that was quite the investigation tonight, Ethan.
Yep, sure was.
Oh, hey, it's still early. You got to get home?
Nope.
What do you say we stop out at the Bean Snappers Gentlemen's Club for a little while?
Yeah, I'm not arguing or insulting you, so what do you think?
Well, that's a change for one.
The door's open, I'm walking through it.
Hey, Keg, how's it going?
Good, how are you guys doing? I'll go through the spiel, even though you've been here before. Welcome to Bean Snappers. We're open Wednesday through Saturday, 5 to bar close. It's $10 to get in. It's a 2-drink minimum. No touching the girls. There's ghosts here again, so thanks for being here.
Support the performing arts at Bean Snappers Gentlemen's Club, Mackville, Wisconsin, Highway 47. All naked, all the time. Hey guys, are you looking for the next piece of ghost hunting equipment that will really help you out on your next investigation? If so, I'm sure you're familiar with Ghost Stop. If not, you should really check them out. They have everything you could ever need on your journey into the unknown. And if you visit WisconsinCaps.com and click on the Ghost Stop banners, any purchase you make on their website, Caps gets a commission. You don't pay a penny more than shopping on their website directly, but you do help us out with every purchase you make from our link. Visit WisconsinCaps.com and click on the Ghost Stop banner to get everything from night vision cameras, EVP recorders, infrared lights, spirit boxes, and so much more at a really great price. All right, we're back here with Cosmic Fathom and Sky Chen. So we just you just got done clearing my snowflake obsidian charm necklace thing. Mm.
It is a very naughty snowflake obsidian. It is caged.
It is caged, yeah.
It's got a German accent.
It's going to have a friend soon.
Oh, really?
It may possibly have a, bumblebee.
Tuna.
Nope.
Can.
Bumblebee something. I just picked it up today.
It will have a literal bumblebee in there.
Yes.
Bumblebee Jasper?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I just heard that, yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to stick it in there?
I'm going to try.
Shove
it's
in.
It's pretty big, and the cage, I don't know if it's going to fit it, but
yeah.
If it does, it has a mate.
It exceeds mass capacity.
Yeah. It has its own cage, so.
Mm. You are just such an SMR, or an, what is it? Sadistic, and you know what I'm talking about, right? Like the whipper and the whippy.
Right, sadomasochism.
Thank you, S&M.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you. That's all the thing in Japan. They all talk about S and M. Are you S? Are you M?
That's kind of like...
He is definitely sadistic like, with his stones, Mr.
That's right.
Barnaby.
They all go in their cages.
Such naughty stone. Go in your cage.
That's what I thought when I saw it. Every time I see those, I'm just like, oh, it's not against you or anything. Like, put it in your pocket.
You're gonna when you have like 15 of them around your neck, you're going to look like some dude from an African tribe. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to dance around and be like, hey, I'm happy to with you, ching ching ching, and he's gonna like jingle as he moves. Can you picture that?
All my stone necklaces, you know, yeah.
I had jingle bands and shit like that as growing up, and not too long off ago. So I mean,
yeah,
he can't borrow them.
Yeah,
yeah. We almost had an appearance from Monet there.
Yeah. She's made quite an appearance this weekend.
Yeah. She's in a certain state, shall we say.
Yeah.
What were we talking about? Oh, sadomasochism.
Oh, good. Yeah,
stones.
Let's go back to
let's
that.
Let's get back to that topic.
Let's go back to the cleansing.
Okay.
So, we talked about this afterwards. And that. So we were watching because our booth is kind of like behind – mm-hmm. Kind of behind yours.
I was watching you guys too.
Yeah. Oh, we were doing podcasts all day.
I saw that.
Yeah. anyway, and the first question that I have, we'll go to this first. I mean this with all respect, but when you watch you do this stuff, it is quite a show. Mm. Like, I mean, you're very animated and. Just active and going around and making noise and stuff. And that's not just you. I mean, like all the healers and stuff, you have the last one we were at, the one lady had a gong, you know, and all this stuff. But we watched you today work and stuff, and it was quite a show over there. So when you look at this, like you're pulling stuff off and stretching things and doing like all this weird stuff with your hands and stuff. And, so this brings me to my question, and we kind of touched on this, but I'll let you talk about it here. My mom had a question for you, and it was when you're pulling off all this stuff and just throwing it out into the universe, is it just sticking to the closest person, and then you heal them next?
And the this goes to John, and now he's got a problem, so I've got a client.
Yep, that is exactly what she was like.
You know, that's funny you bring this up, though, because I didn't say this before we went live, but I felt that today. Like, that question popped in, and it was probably me picking up you thinking that as you were
observing. Oh, I didn't have
me.
That. She was doing that.
Oh, she was saying it to you?
No, she asked me that before we came down here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Before I even was doing anything. Or as, because I'm seeing like she was watching me
today,
live
correct.
Doing
yep,
it.
Yep.
Yep, because I had that thought pop up, and I've never had that thought ever pop up. Very good question.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a hilarious reality if it were true. Because then it's like, hey, 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 keep them rolling, keep them coming. Like recycle
oh
the demons,
God.
Right?
It's just like, yeah, you never run out of plans. You could
yeah,
have
right.
So many
that person day. Looks like they have money.
you get it married.
Take all the spoons and yeet it on somebody else.
Yeet. Not my problem. when I'm doing the healing, it's not just me doing it. I'm working with that person's guides, with my guides, and with anything and everything in between that shows up as light workers or ascended masters or other healers that maybe the layman might not be able to see with their naked eye. They are there working with me, especially from opposite ends. When I'm pulling things out from one end, it often goes straight through. But it's hard to describe because it's not occupying a physical space. It's occupying a metaphysical space that's devoid of space and time. So the objects, quote unquote, that I'm seeing or feeling as I work don't exist on a physical plane, yet they affect the physical as a part of what is happening. Because the physical is like the very last thing to be affected when you're going through the whole chain of all of the parts of a human being. You have the metaphysical part, the mental part, the spiritual part, the energetic part, and then the physical part. And the physical part always takes the last, it takes slower to kind of matriculate because what's physical needs form and repetition. So that's the long answer, but the short answer is when I'm pulling stuff from certain people, it's not going to them because there's somebody or something behind and it's going into another location. So even though the action may look like it's making a path or traversing an angle in the 3D world, it's not actually going to that 3D direction that it seems to be going. It's going through another dimension or several, actually. So that's a really good question, actually. I'm glad you brought that up. Because I'd never really thought about it until today. And it makes sense why it came up in the middle of the day. It was around noon or 1 o'clock. I actually had that thought. And I kind of had a smile, a smirk to myself as I was healing somebody because it looked like it was going to this dude, but it apparently didn't go to him because if it did, he'd probably like fall down and like start convulsing or something. But it doesn't go to that physical space, even though it may look like it. So chew on that.
I have a follow-up question to this.
Sure.
So, and this may not be something you can touch on or not, but like you hear people of like the magic practice and stuff that curse people or send bad energy. Mm-hmm. Would that be like if you, not you, but somebody like that, when you're pulling that energy and pushing it somewhere, is that like what they would be doing?
Yes and no, because it depends on the circumstance. And I'm actually a really good person to ask this.
Well, good. Answer it.
Because I, sure, we're getting there. There's a lot to say. I was hexed.
Okay.
For about 10 years. And it's a significant component of what brought about the Lyme disease and all of the other calamities that begotten me in a decade of time. And when I'm working with people on different layers, it can be different for every person. So for lack of a better way to illustrate it, you could think of it in terms of layers. And sometimes you're working on a more surface layer, and sometimes you're working on a deeper layer of the soul. And certain people and spirits that are able to hex and know how to hex can involve different layers within that individual, depending on how receptive they are at those layers. That's the short answer. But it gets very nuanced. I know you want a nugget, and that's the nugget, but it might not make the most sense hearing it in that short of a package, in that small paradigm. But that's the truth of it.
Mm-hmm. So you were talking about how I gotta back up here. The you're using your own energy to, or some healers use their own energy to heal and that stuff. And you said that you don't do that anymore.
Correct.
So we had just, I'm not sure what order these podcasts are gonna play, but this one will probably be after it. We had talked to Jeremy, the demonologist. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about when he exercises these demons that they don't, like, reattach to him, but they will follow him and check up on him and, you know, because they have this vendetta and, you know, if he ever falters or something and loses faith, that they can rush in on that. So on a same kind of spiritual energy sense, do you have that ever where when you're working on somebody that energy attaches to you or follows you?
This is a great question. They try. They really do try. I am extremely blessed with a very powerful team. And what's coming through right now, and they want to be acknowledged for this, I have Orophim and Seraphim, which are very powerful angelic beings that are mentioned in the Bible, actually. The Orophim is that angel that has six wings and is covered by eyes. It's covered
my
by eyeballs.
One.
Yeah, I've got lots
Sorry
of them.
Sorry, it is.
Yeah, so they've been around actually keeping me alive despite the hex that was put on me, because I had a very powerful hex put on me from someone who wasn't even alive. We won't necessarily get into that. That's a whole other topic for discussion. If
oh
you want to
gosh,
talk about that
is.
Later, it's a really interesting topic because there's a lot that I could say about that.
Oh, there are so many things.
Mm-hmm. So there's that layer to it. There's that dimension of it. I have that protection. But like as I was telling you, Barnaby, I practice with a bowl of salt.
Yeah.
The finer the grain, the better. The purer the salt, the better. Uniodized straight sea salt. When it's very finely granulated, it's better for whatever reason. It has more surface layer. They're telling me to say that to you because you'll like it in that.
I was going to say it can absorb more because it has more.
Yep. There's much more surface.
I got you.
Surface area. Uh-huh. And it has a wider range of effectivity because of the various frequencies that's in it. So it's like a pudding of energy. Rather than if you had like one giant salt crystal, it's like a pot pie with a crust. It's still good, but the pudding is soft and you can like stick your whole hand in it, or you can flavor it with some sort of spice and it'll evenly disperse better than if you just stick like some cinnamon in a pot pie on the top. When it's baked, it'll just roll off the top because the top is crusty and hard. Is that a good analogy? I'm a Taurus. I'll use
kinda,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get it because you're a Taurus too.
I'm a Taurus, yeah.
Always use food in your explanations.
You remember way too much about me. Or you just listened to the last podcast.
I don't remember.
That is just every Taurus.
I don't remember nothing, man. Uh-huh. So I get cues coming through. Oftentimes I have to re-channel people because I won't even remember their name, and I'll have to get like a dossier from my guides and be like, hey, can you give me like bullet point presentation real quick in like a second with this returning client, because I have no idea what they're referencing or talking about.
I need one of those.
Spirit?
Yeah, just somebody
secretary.
To bullet point me. Yeah, mm-hmm. That'd be great.
Well, you need to just like clear yourself every day so that you don't have crusty stones that are jailed. Naughty stone, you
it's
very
like
naughty.
Every time I've talked to you, I feel personally attacked.
Good.
I got
called out
like,
on the last podcast with my obsidian snowflake, and now I'm getting called out for, you know, whatever. And
well, there's nothing wrong. It's always a learning experience. Yeah. No, you're doing very well.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're surviving somehow.
I survive nicely.
So that's one layer to it, what protects me from having that stuff stick. Another layer is when I'm doing the healings, they will sometimes try to stick to me. And then I will actually, if you'll notice, on some people, I'll have to like blow on my elbow, like whoosh, like that, because they'll tell me, my guides and all of the other beings that are with me in that time, in that space, they'll direct me, and then sometimes to blow from my palms to get it out, and then I flick it and I shake it. And sometimes I'm instructed to disseminate it up into the heavens or the sky, if you will, or down into the earth with Gaia, because these are two different sources. These are two different types of energy.
Yeah, for those of you listening, there was a lot of blowing during mine.
That sounds horrible, man. Out of context. Welcome back to all the listeners. We're now talking about the blowing that occurred with Barnaby Jones's personal energy healing session.
Exactly. Yeah, I feel much better now.
Jesus.
You went down that road. I was keeping it professional with the blowing of the getting rid of stuff.
Yes, there was a lot of wind.
Yes. Yeah, there was.
No beans involved.
No. So a lot of the other stuff, like I kind of want to talk about some of the other stuff that you were doing during that. You know, like I noticed like a lot of like twining of the finger either is like I thought maybe either like a sigil or something like that of a drawing or of like twisting in to pull out.
You got it on the latter.
The pulling out.
Mm-hmm. It's twisting to pull out.
See, and sometimes it looked like that, and sometimes it looked more like drawing of something as
well. Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. I do a lot of three.
Yep. It was right here when I noticed that.
When I draw the triangles in a lot of different chakras or areas, it doesn't even have to be one of the seven or nine traditional chakras, but it often is, and I will do it in a multitude of different directions and then move them and spin them. And sometimes they tell me to go this direction, like to the left, like Beyonce say, or to the right, or up and down and shake it all around and do the hokey pokey. I couldn't help it.
Well, now that went somewhere weird too.
Yeah. The metaphysical hokey pokey.
Yeah.
But that I wouldn't call that a sigil. But it was brought up today from certain clients that could see as well alongside me what was happening, not just with colors and shapes, but also that what she called sacred geometry is at play. And I never consciously thought of that until today. I'm just directed to what I do, and I do it. There's no thought. There's no processing. It just happens. It's like muscle memory to a musician. I just go. And that's how it works the best that it can. So drawing of that helps to, I'm channeling them now to ask what that is. It helps to prep the pathway to move. Because a lot of times there's stuck energy. But it's not necessarily energy that's stuck. It's a part of the soul that's out of alignment, and external influences like energy, like entities as well, will try to affix themselves within that so-called metaphysical space. And so it's like if you go to the beach with a loose pair of shoes, you're going to get sand stuck in between the cracks in every which way. But if you go with like a really tight pair of shoes, or you go with like knee-high boots, that exposure is going to prevent, or that you're going to prevent exposure getting into those little nooks and crannies. So the same is true of the soul. When we're discombobulated, like I was explaining earlier, when we live a modern lifestyle, we have our physical life over here, our spiritual life over there. We're all disconnected from ourselves. It leaves a so-called space in which the external world can influence us and kind of stick in there and get stuck and create like a filler, if you will, to our lives, and can keep us in autopilot modes or keep us in reciprocal patterns that aren't necessarily aligned to who or what we are, like addictions. That's the big one that just came up as I'm saying this, I heard. So it's like a filler comes into that space and influences the energy in a person, therefore their actions or inactions, their choices or lack of choices, because in spirit there's no distinction between an action or inaction or a choice or not a choice, because not making a choice is a choice. Not acting is an action.
Mm-hmm. So how does one keep them from the cracks reforming or not?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Living your life authentically. And that means saying no to certain things and people. And not only that, but trusting that that is the best thing for you and those people that might be involved in that way. Because sometimes the best thing you can do is to not go there. I know that's the last thing to tell you. And you're a little bit different because you're here to experience this kind of life. You're living the life intended as you are. And so we can't really superimpose one single brush stroke, single color kind of, what am I trying to say? We can't necessarily impose one judgment upon you and someone else that has a totally different life or a totally different experience that they're meant to have in this life. So there's a shorthand answer to that, and then a much more contextualized, bigger answer to that, like a long-term answer for Barnaby Jones. So I just want to say that first and foremost. There's a lot to talk about with that. So the short answer is, keep yourself whole, aligned, and not in excess, and focused in a way. Focus isn't even the best word for it. Coherent with all of you. That's a much better way to put it. Because it's not necessarily like focus as in you need to exert energy and look within, and it's like a chore. It's like a... it's like an exercise, because it's not like that. It's more like a knowing, a being, an acceptance, but in an aligned way, so that you are very, very sure of what you are and what other people are, and you don't necessarily mix or mingle with stuff that's going to take you off of the true path that you're meant to be on. But sometimes in a greater context, that is what's meant to happen. So this is why every single person that I work on has a different effect that they're subject to. It doesn't necessarily mean that if I work on some other gal like what I just did with you, first of all, her healing is going to look and feel different because it's going to be with her, her soul. And secondly, perhaps aligning for her will look a lot more bumpy and less smooth and more painful or difficult from her perspective than it would be for you. Because some people, for example, last year was a big theme, actually, last year, a lot of people that I worked on with this healing experienced revelations with their personal lives in toxic dynamics within relationships of people that they truly love, and finding a way different, or finding a way out of that, or finding a reconciliation of that. And it looked different for everybody, but it was not pleasant for anyone, I think. Or it might have been pleasant for some people and displeasant or unpleasant for other people. And who's to judge what's right or wrong in that situation? Because in order to judge something that's right or wrong from that level of the soul, you have to have a comparison. This came up in a reading yesterday, actually, with one of my private clients, where it was something along the lines of if you judge people if you judge yourself that way, it'll get in the way of understanding the true nature of duality, because duality itself is more of like there's truth, and then duality is within truth. So you can have aspects of truth that look true and false and completely opposed to one another, but still be superimposed within a truth that extends beyond that framework of the duality. That's a really wordy way to put it. I'm trying to explain. It's really hard to explain it sometimes, because so we can evaluate whether a person is on the right path or not based on if something is true or if something is false, right? Like a one or a zero, binary. Sure. Mm-hmm. Like I'm on my path or I'm not on my path. But there is a level beyond that which does not negate the utility of that duality in saying true, false, that includes the true and the false as true.
Yes.
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 I think computer programmers will take this part.
Let me try.
Yeah.
So just because you can't look at the world as a yes or a no, there are gray areas of the yes and gray areas of the no that both are true and false at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Better?
Sure.
Simpler? I don't know.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Definitely.
I gotcha.
That's another perspective. That's a great way to put it. This is, when you were explaining that, I'm thinking about yin and yang.
Mm-hmm.
Yin yang in Chinese talks about that concept where even if you have pure yin or pure receptivity, within that there is a yang that forms out of the necessity of this space-time fabric. Because without yin and yang, the duality, there cannot exist form, because form needs to have a repetitive motion in order to matriculate or crystallize something into the third dimension. That is necessary. It needs to have a reciprocal pattern that is self-sustaining to a certain extent. Nothing is truly self-sustaining because all form changes, but within a context, right? Within a framework of time, and time can only be experienced if you're within that substance of time as a soul living here, because souls are timeless, right? Life is everlasting. That's what is talked about in the Bible, actually. What's meant by that is the soul is everlasting. You cannot, you can create a soul, but you cannot end that part of life. It keeps going and going and going forever. But when we come here and we're embodied the way that we are, we put on a duality suit, or we drive a duality car or vehicle and we're operating the duality. This is going out there, man.
It really is, yeah.
Yeah.
Fathom, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Everything he's saying makes perfect sense to me.
She's digging it. She's an Aquarius. She can do this. She can pedal.
Yep.
I was going to say, I'm reminded of the old adage of, or whatever, the old analogy of, you know, you have a bus speeding down the road, and either it crashes and kills 40 people, or you kill one person.
Oh, Lord. One of these.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
that's kind of what I'm picturing here is, you know, like, either way, it's a bad choice. You're going to kill somebody. But either you kill the 40 people on the bus, or you kill the one person to save the 40, you're still looking at that. It's a bad, good response. You're doing good, but it's still a negative.
This is a pure product of living in a duality.
See, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because there is no right or wrong choice with either.
Right. But that's kind of, is that not what you were saying? As far as like you're looking at this as a yes and a no at the same time, but it can be a no under a yes. And
that's definitely a scenario that can be used to talk about a little bit about what this topic is opening up into. For sure. Because it's like really going
Where
there.
Where did this start from?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I was channeling it hardcore, so I was like, I got to try and put it out. This is the job of the translator, man. I'm just the messenger boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't always I don't always know what, you know, I don't know nothing.
That's totally how it is, though, and I don't think a lot of people understand that.
Yeah.
Is that,
well, he wants to understand it in a certain way.
Oh, she's well aware of that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I know.
Well, we need people. We need people like that because they play a certain role in all of this.
Of course,
I feel like I try and hear, Fathom, you know that, like, I try and understand you half the time, and it just does not flow well.
Because you, your function is to deduce,
okay,
to refine, to distill. You'd prefer it that way. And there's nothing wrong with that. There is a beauty in an equation, in a nugget of truth. There's definitely a perspective, a value of that perspective. But there's many different ways to go about knowledge and understanding and growth, not just from a deductive way, but also from an inductive way, too. We could get into Chinese astrology this way, because I'm channeling hardcore about the different elements and stuff, because I feel like you have a lot of metal in your chart. Chinese metal. Oh, the Chinese metal. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Very expensive money. You have much money in your chart.
I believe that, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was given a name chart when I was younger. And one of the things that always, it was you know, Barnaby at the top, and then it was everything that Barnaby meant as a name. And one thing that has always stuck with me is at the bottom of that chart, it said, if money can be made, Barnaby will find a way to make it.
Dang.
And I've always channeled that hard.
Let's stay friends. Help Sky out.
Cool.
I've always saw that and flowed into that as far as like the way that I live and stuff. So
not just money, resources, because money is a reflection of value and resources.
Yes.
Think of it in terms of that. You have a lot to work with that money can represent.
Or money can't buy.
There you go. Yeah, that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of untangible resources that I have at my disposal, like my friend network or the people that I've met and stuff like that as well. That's
and your S&M stone that you wear on your
stone.
Chest.
Yes.
Yes. Naughty stone from Germany. Yes.
Yes. Germany.
I don't know. Seem as like a Klaus. I am very naughty Klaus. Stone. I must be caged.
You've been bad.
Naughty stone, Klaus, get in your cage right now.
It's funny because we do that to stones, just not as, you know.
Leather and studs and all that. We clear our stones differently around here.
Yeah, sir.
We terrorize the darkness out of them. You get out of there or I'll bring the stilettos out.
Oh, my God. Yes. I'm okay with that.
We have acquired an audience now at this podcast.
And, you're welcome.
And they're very amused, right? So
a new niche.
Temporarily amused?
No, temporary audience.
Oh, temporary audience.
No, they won't.
Joining us on this podcast is Resnick. How you doing?
Hanging in there.
Good.
So one hell of a night, watching all these different parties around the hotel, and loving every minute, being a fly on the wall. All these different conversations everyone's had. If I wasn't a fly on the wall and I wrote a book, I'd be a bestseller just off of tonight's event. Very naughty book, I tell you. Very, very naughty.
Yes, Klaus will be in the eulogy.
No, Klaus. No Klaus in the eulogy. Oh, man. All right. Well, I think we're about out of time on this episode. So I think we should wrap this one up and call it a night for that.
Yeah, sounds
so
good.
On behalf of all of CAPS and the Janesville Metaphysical Paranormal Convention, thank you for being here, Sky.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for your cleansing and your work tonight. I
very
appreciate
welcome.
It.
Yeah, no problem.
Cool. And so that we have everybody can get a hold of you again, why don't you tell everyone where we can find you?
Sure. Currently, I am on revealingfate.com. I have acquired skychen.com, so stay tuned for that. That should be coming very shortly. I am on social media on Instagram and Facebook with @skychenpsychic. That's SKYECHEN psychic. And you can find me on Patreon as Sky Chen.
Cool. And I hope I got all your stuff right on the last one, and I'll just copy it right over, and hopefully we get skychen.com on there as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'm excited.
You'll have to let me know.
For sure, man.
Cool. All right. Until next time, I'm Barnaby.
I'm Fathom.
I'm Resnick.
And I'm Sky Chen.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
And I'm Klaus.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Whispers from the Dark. To find out more about cryptids, anomalies, and the Paranormal Society, visit us at our website at wisconsincaps.com. That's Wisconsin, CAPS.com. There you can find links to all of our social media, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and our Patreon. You will see links to our online store as well, where you can get t-shirts, DVDs, and more. If you click on the public events page, you can find out where you can meet us in person and all the public events we have coming up. If you enjoy our podcast or our YouTube shows, please consider becoming a Patreon at patreon.com/WisconsinCaps. There you can find behind-the-scenes pictures and videos from all of our media, as well as bonus footage and evidence that we have collected. If you have encountered something you can't explain, we want to hear from you. Visit our website and click on Submit a Report on our main screen. You can choose to leave your contact information or simply remain anonymous. You can also reach us via email at wisconsincaps@gmail.com. If you would like to be a guest on our show, please contact us on our Whispers from the Dark podcast page on Facebook, or send us an email at wisconsincaps.com. Remember to like, share, and subscribe wherever you listen or watch or find us.